Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
This is the ninth part of that series, Armies of the Kingdom. And today we want to learn some very important things about the law of unquestioned obedience. And if you read the Word of God, you get to understand that God, right from the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, was introduced to us as a man of war. It is in Genesis chapter 1 where he started his fight against the kingdom of darkness all the way from the very beginning. Now, in Genesis 1:3, God gave his first military command when he said, "Let there be light." You know, the use of the word "let" denotes that there was a presence of a resistance to what God wanted. And the word "let" just means allow, allow it to be. So when God said, "Let there be light," he was, as it were, commanding against a resistance that light will come. So God put his foot down right from the beginning. As we are introduced to God, we see him as a God who put his foot down against the prevailing kingdom of darkness upon this earth. And God spoke 12 times in just 5 days the word "let there be." He said, "Let there be light, let there be firmament, let the waters be gathered, let the earth bring forth, let there be light in the firmament," etc., etc. This was a wonderful introduction of God as a fighter against the kingdom of darkness. Now, throughout the Bible, in his continued fight against the kingdom of darkness on this earth, God has often used people with a militant disposition just like him. Okay, right from Abraham through Moses to David to Jesus, the 12 apostles, the apostle Paul, we see that God has always used people with a militant disposition. Now, this militant disposition are the 10 qualities that we have been speaking about, that we say will move us from being civilian, non-confrontational Christians to be like God, a fighter like God. We have so far spoken about 6 of such militant disposition. We have spoken about the law of uniformity, the law of hardness, the law of non-entanglement, the law of discipline, the law of readiness for action, and the law or principle of loyalty. Now, God's strategy for his final physical disengagement of the kingdom of darkness in this end time, the Bible makes us to know, is through the church. The church is his visible army of armed soldiers. Thank you. His visible army of armed soldiers. So I want you to ask yourself this question: am I armed? Am I armed? Am I in the armor that every believer who is a soldier must be armed in? Now, to use the church of the living God, God has to transform us from the immaturity of a caterpillar. You know, a caterpillar crawls on the earth and is at home with earthly things. He has to transform us from the immaturity of a caterpillar to the maturity of a butterfly, a completely transformed, metamorphosed form. A butterfly, unlike a caterpillar, flies above the earth. and is at home with the spiritual things, or is at home in the air. Okay, plays around in the air. Now I want to quickly remind us that this kingdom battle that has been going on right from Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 is against wrong mindset about God, about men, and about the issues that have been hushed and perpetuated over the years by the kingdom of darkness. In other words, the kingdom of darkness has imposed upon the mentality of humanity generally a wrong mindset about God, about themselves, and about issues around them. And the kingdom battles that we are supposed to fight is the one that we should use God's word about what Jesus Christ has already done and what he has taught against these satanic installations that have been built in people's minds and spirits. And in fighting the kingdom battle, it involves repairing a mental damage that has been inflicted on men by the kingdom of darkness. When we fight to repair this mental damage, men can then rise up spiritually to what Jesus has already accomplished for us on the cross. And so practically, kingdom battles are fought by using God's word, by speaking God's word in four directions. One is towards yourself. That's the first place of conquest. And two is towards existing satanic arrangements, whether they are physical, spiritual, mental, whatever. We should speak God's word against these satanic arrangements. And third of all, in fighting kingdom battles, we need to speak God's word to men, discipling men, kingdomizing men. And fourth of all, we speak God's word to God himself. All right, Acts chapter 4 gives an example when the apostles gathered and said that, Lord, you are God, and these people are saying that we should not preach in your name. They quoted Psalm 2, and then God responded. So those are kingdom battles. They are battles that are fought by speaking God's word in four directions: to yourself, to existing satanic arrangements, to men, and to God. So that is what God wants us practically to be involved in. Speaking his word, the word of the kingdom, to ourselves, to Satan's structures, Satan's installations, whether they are mental or physical, we speak against them. We prophesy, we speak God's word against it. We speak to men, and then we speak to God. Now, the final physical showdown of the structures of darkness that was started in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 is close. The final showdown is close. We are the generation that is closing the age. Right from Genesis chapter 1, we are in the closing generation. And so, as we approach the end of the church age, we have to be so militarized. We have to imbibe more military dispositions. We need to have a military poise so that the God of war that was introduced to us in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 can use us to finally demolish all of the structures of darkness. So we want to look at the law of unquestioned obedience, and we return to the book of Joshua chapter 5 verse 13 to 14. The law of unquestioned obedience, or the law of military obedience. Obedience is a very important subject in the Christian life. God wants us to be obedient children. And more so as soldiers, he wants to use in this final showdown we have to learn to be obedient unto Him. In the military, actually, obedience is key. You cannot disobey orders. You cannot afford to be insubordinate to your commander or to your captain. You cannot afford to be rebellious. You cannot obey halfway or three-fourths of the way. It's total military obedience. In Joshua chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, No. In other words, I'm not for you, I'm not for your adversary, but as the captain or the commander of the host of the Lord, am I now come." Please underline, "now come." I have now manifest myself or come. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What says my Lord unto his servant?" Look at Joshua's total submission and readiness to obey. What says my Lord? What is the order? What is the command unto us? Now, Jesus Christ is the captain of the host. He appeared unto Joshua at a certain point in time. And I let you underline the word "now" because it is important and instructive to our understanding of the law of obedience. Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 21, that if you love me, you will obey me. And it is when you obey me that I will come and manifest myself unto you. That is in John 14, 21. So Jesus Christ, in fact, actually repeated it in verse 23 of John 14, when he said that anybody who obeys me, I and my Father will come to him and we will make our abode with him. And so I need to make us to understand that Jesus Christ had to wait and not manifest himself unto Joshua until he has seen that the book of the law was being obeyed by Joshua. Because if you look at the conquest of Joshua, who is a type of Jesus actually, you will get to understand right from Joshua chapter 2 from verse 1 that there were three things that provoked Jesus Christ to manifest himself. Jesus will not manifest himself until he sees that obedience is coming. You will not see the captain in your life until you obey him in what you know about from his word already. So if you look at Joshua chapter 2 and then verse 1, you will see that where the people of Israel's failed, where their fathers failed, this generation that was with Joshua, they succeeded. The generation that was with Moses were disobedient, but the generation that was with Joshua were not murmurers. They were people who were not complainers. They were people who hear the word of God and just do it. That is why Jesus Christ manifested himself and said that now I have come. If you read at verse 1, Joshua 2 now, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into Anhalo's house, named Rehob, and lodged there." Now look at the obedience of these two spies. Joshua says that, "Go and spy," and the people just go ahead and then they go and spy. They get a good view or understanding of the mission by spying the land of Jericho. So this thing was a test of obedience to Joshua. And when they were obedient to Joshua, Israel was preparing itself to receive a theophonic manifestation of Jesus Christ. Now look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse 3. Over there we see another obedience to Joshua or to God that provoked the visitation of the commander of the armies of Israel.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Joshua chapter 3 and verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant, the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a space between you and the presence or the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Prophetically, he's talking about 2,000 years after the ark goes through the Jordan. Then the whole of the church or the whole of Israel should also go through the Jordan about 2,000 years. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Alright, so Joshua just gives this instruction, or the people, the leaders of the people, gives this instruction to the people that the ark is going to go through the Jordan first of all. Jordan stands for a place where we are baptized, a place of death, a place where the old self is killed. Okay, so it says that Jesus is going to die, he's going to be killed, and then about 2,000 cubits in measure, in terms of time, about 2,000 years, the whole of Israel should also pass through the experience of Jesus Christ, pass through baptism of death, so that they can be able to possess the promised land. And the Bible says that this is exactly what the people of Israel did. The ark of the covenant went and they waited for about 2,000 cubits in measure distance before all of Israel also crossed. And this was a test of obedience, a test of military obedience. Now, the final test is in chapter 5 and then verse 6. The final test that provoked the manifestation of the commander of the armies of God is in chapter 5 and then verse 6. It says, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the Lord, the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swore that He would not show them the land, okay, which the Lord swore unto their fathers that He will give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. But if you read from verse 1, you'll see that test of military obedience, where God spoke to Joshua and says that, make sharp knives and circumcise all the people. Now this was the word of the Lord. So Joshua made sharp knives, and without fighting the people, without any resistance, every one of the men of war surrendered themselves to Joshua so that he would circumcise them physically. So after they had been obedient to Joshua, after Joshua had not questioned the word of God in three instances, the Bible makes us to know that the covenant of God with Abraham was activated so that the seed of Abraham, the people of Israel, will be able to possess the promised land. Abraham himself was a man of military obedience. In Genesis chapter 22, the Bible makes us to know in verse 2 that God appeared to Abraham and said that, take your beloved son and go and sacrifice him on a mountain that I will show you. Now, in just the next verse, in verse 3, Genesis 22, Abraham rises up early in the morning and takes his son in a military obedience style to go and sacrifice him. Instant obedience is what God is asking from his army. Obedience is what God is asking from his children, because that is going to provoke a manifestation of Jesus Christ among our rank and file. If you read the book of Psalm 119, let's turn to Psalm 119 and then verse 16. David says something that is worth reading and understanding. David himself was a man of war. He had a military disposition. In Psalm 119 verse 60, he says that, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandment. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandment. It is important for us to instantly obey the Lord, not obeying God, dragging our feet, because that thing annoys the Lord. Moses learned that lesson in a very bitter way when God tried to kill him because he kept dragging his feet. Had it not been for the intervention and the spirit of Zipporah, God would have killed Moses. Because he was ready and he wanted to go out there into Egypt and rescue a people who were imprisoned to the Pharaoh or to the devil. And Moses was not obeying him. So we have to understand that God is calling his church all over the world to a place of unquestioned obedience, a place of full and complete obedience. Now, after developing a military style obedience, the captain of the hosts showed up. Do you know why? Because captains give orders. The word captain is the same as a commander of the host. A commander gives orders or commands. He does not give explanations or suggestions. Why is it so? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that in the case of our commander, Jesus Christ, his ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. So our captain, because of the highness of his ways and his thoughts and the featherness of his sight, he cannot help but to give us command. Hallelujah. Without the kind of explanations that civilians want before they respond to any order. A civilian typically will want you to give the person maybe 25 reasons why he should do this and not do that. But in a military command, when the order is given, you do not have to ask for why should I go? Why should I do this? Because you trust the commander that whatever move the commander is making is in the good of the army. Hallelujah. So that is what God will do or will relate unto us. He will give us orders and he will give us commands. And he expects us that we will live in obedience. We will obey him in faith. The reason why we live a life of faith is because it's not everything that we will understand. Even if he tries to explain it unto us, it's not everything that we will get. And so he has to give the order. And by faith, by trust, we must move to obey it. And I have seen practically that often in obeying the orders of God, we get to understand it. The understanding comes to us with time. As time unfolds, as your life goes on, you will get to understand, oh, this is why God was telling me maybe 5 years ago that I should do this and I should do that, or I should choose this and I should choose that. I did not understand it at that time, but God, who was the commander of the armies, knew that that move was going to be strategic as far as my placement in the kingdom of God was concerned, and as far as his assignment for me in kingdomizing society is concerned. That is why he gave me that order. Look at the book of John chapter 7 and then verse 16 to 17. John chapter 7 and then verse 16 to 17. Jesus Christ is speaking to his people, and he says that Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine or my word is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he will know, and please underline the word know, he will know of the word or the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So Jesus says that if any man will do his will, in other words, if you will start to walk in the instruction that God is giving you, foolish though it may seem now, but if you will do it, he says that it is then that you will get to know, you will get to have a full understanding of what he said. So with time, ladies and gentlemen, we will get to understand why God is telling us, for example, that we should come to church all the time. With time, we will get to understand why God is disciplining us to a certain lifestyle. With the unfolding of the events of this world, we will get to know, ladies and gentlemen, why God said in his word that we should do some of the little things that we think is a bother and an interruption on our lives and on our program, is slowing us down, or whatever reason why we have for disobeying the orders of the commander. We will know with time that it was important for us to have started obeying God when we were young, or when we were just married, or when we were in school, or when we have started a project. We will know because the commander has got foresight. He knows what is ahead. His thoughts are so high, from the height of his thoughts. He knows your way ahead, and he knows for you to be able to meet that challenge that is coming. Even your way and your life, you need to start to order your life this way. But sometimes we are wise in our own selves, and we see it as maybe an interruption, as a foolish move, as a move that is not relevant, and we think that doing other things is more relevant than doing what the Bible has ordered and commanded that we should do. When we do it like that, we are not going to do that well as God has planned for us to do that well. It is the people who obey the Lord, even when it is in season, so to speak, and out of season. It is people who obey the orders of the commander. They are the people who are going to enjoy the fullness of what God has got for them in their lives. I have realized practically also that too many times, much knowledge of the dark side, much knowledge of the other side can freeze you in fear. It can freeze you in inaction. It is typical of an army general who knows maybe the strategy and understands the strategy of the opposing army or enemy. He knows the moves and all that because there is ambush and there is intelligence that is reporting to the general the moves of the opposing army. In this case, the kingdom of darkness. So the general or the commander with such deep knowledge will not disclose it to all the people in the army. The privates may not know it. They just have to move when the commander says that now this battalion, I want you to get ready and start firing. It is important that the commander does not disclose everything because it will freeze the private people in inaction. It will make them afraid. And practically, that is what happens. If God should give us explanations and leave things for us to suggest and all that, and not rather give us commands, we are going to be frozen in fear. And we will not go on because of the dark side that is ahead. But he knows how to get us through even the valley of the shadow of death if we will just let him shepherd us, if we will just follow what he's telling us to do.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.